Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier hanging out on this Monday. Every Monday at 10:30, we get to talk to, he might have the best voice in radio, Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. is with us now. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, what's up, my friend?
Chase, not much. We had a great weekend, and great to be on the show, officially the Chase McCabe Show, which is really cool. Not just the suit, you wear many hats, and congratulations on the newest one.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, good to have you on and continue this, because I enjoy these chats on Monday. It feels like about 2 months now we've been talking about DeAndre Hopkins and whether he could be a fit for the Titans. I think we've all come to our conclusions on that at this point. But Mike Reese of ESPN reporting over the weekend that the Titans had been aggressive in their pursuit of DeAndre Hopkins, that they have presented him with a contract, as have the Patriots, but the Titans have been more aggressive. What exactly does aggressive mean to you when it comes to the Titans and their pursuit for Hopkins?
I take that to mean, Chase, that both teams are fairly close on the actual earned money part of this, okay? The money that is guaranteed, the money that if he, you know, starts week one on the active roster, he's going to receive. The aggressive nature of that, and Mike Reese would certainly know. He's as connected as anyone across the league, the same way Jim Wyatt was when he was at the Tennessean. Chase, I take it to mean there's more incentives in this contract, more aggressive, meaning easier to obtain. Hopkins has been a 1,000-yard receiver 6 of the 8 years that we've seen him play. He was very successful in Bill O'Brien's offense. He also was traded by Bill O'Brien to Arizona and screwed up what was a good thing between him and Watson at the time. I'm surprised that he's considering that, but at the same time, I'm surprised there are only 2 teams that are really chomping at the bit to sign him. I think Kansas City can make a late move, and they're certainly keeping tabs. That makes sense if you want to go win. But here's the thing that I think it comes down to. Not just it comes down to money. Yes, that's number one. But how he's going to be used, the vision and as to why you need him on your roster, and how he's going to be treated, which would be like a number one and a half receiver here in Nashville. And same thing would go in Foxborough. But look, the reasons as to why you want to sign him, he's still a top 20 receiver in yards per game over the last 2 seasons. He instantly becomes the most productive pass catcher on the Titans offense easily. And you pair that with what the defense was a year ago, and you start to think, okay, maybe, you know, we're closer to being extremely competitive than we are on the rebound or on the rebuild. We'll save that for 2024 when a lot of these contracts are up. But it's unusual to have a guy come in at age 31, Chase, and produce at the high level that he would be expected to produce, not just with the Tennessee Titans, because we've seen a number of wide receivers come through the doors only to be closer to the end of the career than their prime. But there are only a handful of players, 23 players, that have 4,000 yards receiving over or past the age of 31 in the history of the league. 23 receivers over 4,000 yards after they turn the age of 31. Larry Fitzgerald, Tim Brown, Steve Smith, Tony Gonzalez, I'm counting as the 23. Derek Mason is one of them.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice. It's extremely hard to do. And, you know, I look at it as he's a number two receiver in this offense because they need their go-to player to be on the opposite side of him and Treylon Burks. Personally, I don't mind being aggressive on incentives. I wouldn't go much further ahead of where New England is, and Kansas City's waiting in the wings too to make an offer. So who knows? But this Titans team, what does this one player do? That's what I would have to ask myself. And what it does is it impacts moments in games. This guy's going to score touchdowns in games. I take that as a good thing because the Titans didn't have many guys that got into the end zone last year.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. You bring up Kansas City. That's the team that I think everybody, Titans fans should be concerned with, because they're going to likely extend Chris Jones at some point. If they do that, they can move money around, and then all of a sudden they're probably in the mix. And if you're Hopkins and you can get the money that you're looking for and jump on an immediate Super Bowl contender, that's what I would do if I was him. How concerned do you think Titans fans should be that Kansas City could truly get in the mix?
I think they've always been in the mix, though. They were one of the teams rumored for a possible trade for Hopkins, along with the Bills. And then he became a free agent, and the market dictated exactly what is playing out, which he's going to have to choose the best option. And, I mean, within a couple, it's a lot of money, but a couple million dollars here or there, and he's made a ton of money through his career, the offers will be virtually the same team to team, because no one's going to break the bank unless they have to. I wouldn't negotiate against myself, for instance. Point being, Hopkins joining Kansas City is viewed differently by the national pundits and across the league than with New England or Tennessee. It's just how it is based on Kelsey and the receiving core, but ultimately Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But they need him as much as the other two teams we've been discussing, at least in my view. They've got Valdez-Scantling, Kadarius Toney, who they brought in through a trade last year, and Sky Moore. Those are their top three receivers. And Richie James is there, former, by the way, Go Blue Raiders. Yep. Go Big Blue.
Go Blue.
But it's Kelsey making up plays in the dirt, and it would be Mahomes scrambling and finding Hopkins down the field after getting some time in the pocket. In theory, that's the best fit, and in theory, that's how he goes and puts up yards and becomes a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Now, the Titans are going to be without Nicholas Petit-Frere for 6 games because he violated their gambling policy. He didn't bet on the NFL, but he bet on something within the team facility. That is a no-no, for sure. And now we've seen guys, Calvin Ridley obviously coming off a year-long suspension because he did bet on the NFL. The rules, in my mind, are black and white. Now, there are things that I think they can look at and maybe adapt to, because a lot of these rules were put in place before the app-based gambling, and there are different set of rules for the players, and there are like an employee for the team. So a lot of things they can look at. But where are you on all of this right now? Because this is obviously a situation that isn't going to go away anytime soon.
You're right. Look, I believe the handful of players, but it's not that many players that are getting popped for this. I'm surprised by it. I think it's more difficult to find these accounts and these bets than what it may look like based on the reports, where a player's being reported as to making a bet and being suspended in some case. It feels like every week there's a different player. It's like 10 players or something like that. It's not a big number. Two things that come to mind, Chase. Number one, this is a great example of the NFLPA being the weakest players association across the major sports in America. 6 games is far too punitive for a player who is making a legal bet, but is doing so potentially while pulling into a parking lot and they hit the Wi-Fi within the facility. Sitting in his car getting off of a plane on a Saturday in a legal state where sports betting is allowed through your phone, and making that bet because you just came from a place where you couldn't do it and you want to bet on your college football team or the UFC pay-per-view that night, whatever. To me, that's no harm, no foul. Where they get, and I think it's fair, is betting on the NFL. That should be the black and white rule. Yep. You're betting on the league or you're not. And anything underneath the league umbrella counts as that. That's number one. But the NFLPA is the weakest. There's so many different examples. But going back and reading, I believe it was Florio last year, the comparisons made about, we'll use Hopkins being suspended 6 games for violating the drug policy, the PED policy. Doesn't matter if he got a tainted, contaminated batch of Tylenol that was mixed into a tub that previously had HGH, whatever. Not going to matter really all that much. You're going to get four games, even if it's lightened on your suspension if you appeal. And it's normally between four to six games based on your first violation. That seems far worse than betting on the NBA finals. And it doesn't just seem that, it is. But the reason why they're the same is the NFLPA allowed this. The NFLPA collectively bargained that drug policy for first offense, second offense, third offenders. You can be suspended or would be suspended up to a year, possibly two full seasons. That's written in the collective bargaining agreement, the CBA. In this case, based on what Florio wrote last year, the PA told the league, make up your policy. We're cool with it. You come up with a policy and enforce it. They didn't even negotiate the suspension length. That's on the Players Association for being the patsies of the National Football League. That's what they do. And Demoris Smith's on his way out. They point to the 2011 lockout and the holdout and all that with the negotiation and some big victory. The victory here is both sides, the players and the owners, are getting a ton of money in revenue by doing this. And there was so much money involved, Chase, that the PA just said, hey, we want to go ahead and get this going and as soon as possible throughout the league. Come up with your own policy for how you want to enforce betting by players. And that's what they did, because the players are the only ones underneath the roof of any NFL facility who are allowed to place a bet or step foot into a casino, even on their own time. Everyone else cannot bet on anything, and the players can within these guidelines. By now, they should know the rules, all of them. But Chase, think about it from this angle. If I'm an agent, I am stressing this rule, this policy. I'm not just sending an email. If I'm a team, if I'm a coach, I'm worried. I mean, the guys that have been reported and suspended are not detrimental to a roster. I'm eager to find out what happens when a quarterback or a star running back or a star receiver goes down for six games for betting on UFC 290 this past Saturday night.
Right.
But they just happened to do it after some treatment at a facility. That's when I'm eager to find out if the GMs, the head coaches, and the owners are really going to point back to, oh, we're releasing this player for the integrity of the sport and the league. Well, let's see Chris Ballard do that with someone that matters on that Colts roster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's a conversation, like I said, that's not going to go away. I think it's ridiculous that if you're a regular team employee and you're in the travel party, whatever, and you can't even go to a casino and play blackjack. I mean, what is that going to do? I don't understand that.
They're doing that. They don't want the perception that guys are losing money based on the fact that they flipped their gambling policy.
Right.
But whatever. I mean, guys can blow their money on literally anything they want to. And, you know, the other side of this, just briefly, to me, 1 year, betting on the league, 1 year seems reasonable. It seems very punitive. And these guys, especially some of the guys that are on the end of their first term of their contract, you know, they're being released with a year left. We saw that happen in Indianapolis. Well, the year is almost taken as like, okay, apply for reinstatement. Calvin Ridley, you're good. You're back in the league.
Right.
What happens if this comes up in baseball? Hypothetically, if Ronald Acuna is betting on Major League Baseball on an app, what happens and how is he suspended? Is he banned for life the way Pete Rose is? Or is he treated more like an NFL player would based on the era that we're in? And that makes the argument for Pete Rose, if so.
Oh, I think it 100% does. That's a great question. That is a fantastic question. And
how does Rob Manfred handle that versus the way Goodell is handling? Goodell and the NFL are very upfront. They've got these companies, these businesses reporting back on who's betting, and they're suspending them and they're releasing statements and doing all this stuff. Meanwhile, I haven't heard a peep about this in Major League Baseball.
I haven't either.
And there's no doubt that every sport has players that are doing this, but the way Major League Baseball has treated this, just look at Rose. He is a pariah. Like he's applied for reinstatement. You know, he admitted to gambling. on the Reds doing all this, and he's still treated like he has leprosy or something, right? Like he's shunned, even though it's been more of an open door situation in recent years for throwing out the first pitch or whatever. Vastly different treatment compared to how, just as a general sports public, we view the suspensions in the NFL.
Very, very good stuff. Good to have you on. Good to be back. And we'll do it again next week.
Yep. And we could say the same for the PED policy, by the way. Guys can't get in the Hall of Fame in baseball. Hopkins is back in a month and a half. So again, it's very intriguing. Chase, always enjoy the chats, man, and we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. I have some more thoughts on that when it comes to betting. We'll do that coming up next. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.